going on. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد. ولا أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين واللانة الدائمة الباقية لأعدائهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، sisters and brothers in Islam, salam alaikum. I apologize for the delay. It has been a very hectic day, the last 2 days and today, because of this story, you know, which is going on in the town. So my schedule of planning for this lecture has been sort of disturbed. But inshallah, will not let this hour go without benefit. I have been requested to summarize last week's discussion for those who are not here. The discussion is about barzakh, the life after death. And basically, the way we talked about it, barzakh is not what in English is known as purgatory, because that is a Catholic term which refers to the souls being punished after death, and once they are cleansed, they go to heaven. When we use the term barzakh, it just means that time period between death and the day of resurrection, maut and qiyamah. And the state of a soul or a person in barzakh could be not just azab, it could even be sawab, or it could be a situation of a person suspended between these two situations. One of the main issues that we talked about was the why should we discuss about barzakh, and the issue was that we should not only be thinking about planning for the hereafter, we need to plan for the barzakh also. Because our sixth Imam has said very clearly that I'm not concerned about you except during the barzakh. But when the matters referred to us on the day of judgment, we are closer to you and our shafaat would be there. So this is a warning given by our Imams that you know that you have to work for your barzakh. On the day of Qiyamah will be there. And that is why we have picked this subject, in order to learn on my own level and also share with you what I learned, that we have to think about it and prepare. And you know, some people say, what is the benefit of this discussion? You know, especially making it very complicated or, you know, go into so much details. The whole purpose is that once we realize that we have to work for it, that will have implication on our amal in this dunya. Because the time to work for barzakh is here, not in the barzakh itself. And that is why we have selected this. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about it in different ways. I'll just give you one example. Don't want to go through all the ayat. About Ali Fir'aun and his army and his people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after they were drowned, النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا. Every morning and evening they are exposed to the fire, which means they are not yet in Jahannam. And the reason why they are not in Jahannam, because the Qiyamah has not yet happened. The judgment has not yet been done, and so there's no issue of going into Jahannam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every morning and evening, if they were in Jahannam, they were in fire all the time. But they are exposed to the fire every morning and evening, which means this is the azab at the time of barzakh. Evening and morning is the present time. In Qiyamah, there will be no morning, no evening. And so these are the indications that, you know, Quran talks about the situation of people after death in Barzakh. On the positive side, you have example of the Shuhada, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are alive. It's not in Jannah as yet, but they are alive in the Barzakh, and they are getting a preview of Jannah in Barzakh. And so let us now move on to the today's discussion. A couple of more ayats talking about this issue of Barzakh, and especially, you know, to emphasize on some of the terms in Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word Jannah. There are two ways of writing, translating that. One is garden, one is paradise. When we say paradise or even garden with a capital G, we are referring to Jannah after the judgment. When we look at Jannah before that, it refers to the bliss and the ni'mat that Allah gives in the barzakh. Similarly, you know, on the azab side also, one of the ayahs that we have is about the story of Nuh alayhi salam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Mimma وَمِمَّا خَطَايَاتِهِمْ أُغْرِقُوا فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا. Because of their khata, because of their sins, they were drowned, and then they were admitted or put into the fire. Now, the flood of Nuh happened, the people of Nuh were punished by drowning, and then Allah says, فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا. They were put into the fire. The question is, the Qiyamah has not happened. And so which is the Nar that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about? It doesn't refer to the Nar of Jahannam. It is referring to the fire of in Barzakh. Allama Tabatabai in this ayat, he's, you know, points out a very interesting, he says, if you look at the Arabic term there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought two opposites together. On one hand, he's talking about drowning them with water and then putting them in fire. Water and fire are opposites. So this is one of the, balagat and fasahat of the Quran itself. Another ayat from surah number 56, ayat 89 to 94, which is very interesting, and this is again one ayat. If you just look at the translation, فَأَمَّا إِن كَانَ مِنَ الْمُقَرِّبِينَ فَرَوْحٌ وَرَيْحَانٌ وَجَنَّةُ نَعِيمٌ. And then after one ayat it says, وَأَمَّا إِن كَانَ مِنَ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ الضَّالِّينَ فَنُزُلٌ مِنْ حَمِيمٌ وَتَسْلِيَةُ جَحِيمٌ. If you look at the translation which is correct, so if he is one of the muqarribeen, those who are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he shall have rawhun, rahat. You know, his life will be easy. And rayhan, which ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجَنَّةُ نَعِيمٌ, and he shall have a garden of bliss. But then an ayat after that, وَأَمَّا إِن كَانَ مِنَ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ الضَّالِّينَ, but if the person is from the misguided disbelievers, then what will happen? فَنُزُلٌ مِنْ حَمِيمٌ, he shall enjoy boiling water, وَتَسْلِيَةُ جَحِيمٌ, and burning in the fire. Now, when you look at it, you know, it seems, well, Allah is talking about the hereafter. Because this is how we understand mostly. But if you look at this same ayat explained by Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, wa Where Imam separates the words Rauhun wa Rayhan from the words Jannatu Na'im. And the Azab Nuzulun min Hamim from Tasliyatu Jahim. And then the translation would be this way, with the explanation of the Imam. So he, one of those who are drawn closer to Allah, the Muqarribeen, he shall have ease and bounty in the barzakh. So the words Rauhun wa Rayhan is for the barzakh. Wa Jannatu Na'im is for the hereafter. And the garden of bliss will be given to him in the hereafter. And the negative side, and the one who is the misguided, you know, from the misguided believers, he shall enjoy boiling water in the barzakh and the burning in the fire in the hereafter. So one part is, you know, about barzakh, and the other part is about qiyamah. This is the way the Imam has explained this ayat. One more ayat. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. And whoever turns away from my dhikr. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, one of the names of Quran is dhikr. And so, whoever turns away from the Quran, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا, he shall have restrained life. His life will be with, you know, lesser opportunities. And then وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَامًا, and on the day of Qiyamah, we will raise him as a blind person. Now, if you look at it, many times we are told, well, this is about the hereafter. This is about the Qiyamah. Allah says, whoever turns away from the Quran, I will make his life restrained. Ma'ishat zanka. How many million Muslims would fit that, this description of the worldly point of view? Ma'ishat zanka means restrain life in this dunya. There are millions of Muslims don't have a comfortable life. So how do you explain this? You know, this is where we see the explanation that restrained life is referring to the life in barzakh, and وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Then Allah says that this person who would have very restrained life in barzakh, on the day of Qiyamah, we shall raise him with blindness. And so we see that in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, talks about the life of barzakh as well as the life in the hereafter. Now we go to the discussion about tonight. Those were some of the ayat I wanted to, you know, continue with the last week's discussion. I'd mentioned that I'll talk about the issue of soul. You know, what when we talk about barzakh, the azab, if it goes on the soul, you know, how do you explain it? I would like to repeat what I said last week. What happens after death? What happens in barzakh? What happens in qiyamah? This is beyond the ability of our aql. We can at most, you know, prove the importance or necessity of the hereafter and judgment from rational point of view. But the details of what will happen after death, what will happen in barzakh, what will happen in qiyamah, our aql doesn't have the ability to comprehend or explain it to us. So our only choice in that matter is the Quran and the sayings of the Ma'asumeen alayhim salatu wasalam. Now, when we look at the issue of, you know, what happens in barzakh, when we look at the body, if you did, you know, dig up the grave, you will see the body has decayed. There are many, many qabristan. After 30, 40 years, they recycle the whole land. They dig up and they see nothing there. You know, so the question comes up, you know, when we talk about sawab and azab, reward and punishment in barzakh, you know, how does it happen? And this is where it's important to understand, you know, the reality of ruh and soul and the connection with the body. We are refraining from going to the complicated discussions of the philosophers. We're just making it things as simple as possible. Number one, we know that as human beings, we are composed of two elements. There is a body and a soul. The best way to know that is this term, I. When we say I and me or my, it's not the body that we are referring to. Hypothetically, you can have a person who was alive 10 minutes before. After 10 minutes, he dies. You ask the doctor, is anything missing from his body? They will say no. On a physical level, whatever he had before is still there. Means whatever we have in our body, our physical body, every inch of that, we can relate it to a point of reference and say, this is my finger. This is my nail, this is my arm, this is my head, my face. Every part of our body we can say, this is mine. What is that mine? What is the point of reference? That point of reference is the soul. And that's what we believe, and that's the essence of the human being. And that is also the identity. You know, we are told that physically, not every part of the body, not every soul of the body, but major parts of the body, including the cells of the skins, change after a number of years. Normally, they say 7 years, but, you know, by looking at the articles from the medical, you know, websites, that's not really a true statement. In some cases, yes, some cases, it takes longer time. So in some cases, it's even less than that. So many parts of our body constantly change. If I slapped somebody 15 years ago, and I ran away, and he gets hold of me 15 years after that, and he says, you know, I want qisas. I want the right of retaliation. Can I turn around and say, well, you know, all the cells of my hand that I used to, you know, slap you has changed. It's no more that. So I'm not responsible for it. No. They'll say, it doesn't matter. You might have black hair that time, now it's gray, but it's still you. And I have a right to take, you know, qisas and retaliation from you. What is you? It's not the body. It is the person. And that is what we are talking about when we talk about, you know, soul and body, which is the reality of a human being. This soul is not eternal in the sense that it existed from ever. You know, some of the ancient philosophers used to believe that the souls have been there, you know, eternally. No. We believe it is the يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ Allah says, they are asking you about the ruh. Say, the ruh is from the command of my Lord. So it is a creation. It is makhluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It didn't exist from ever. And when the soul, but after creation, we believe it stays. The death is the death of the body and not of the soul. One of the famous, you know, Shia philosopher by the name of Hadi Sabzawari, you know, he's put the concepts in poetry where he says, "An-nafsu fil hudus jismaniyya wa fil baqa takunu ruhaniyya." That the soul in creation, it is a physical entity which has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes to perpetuity afterwards, it is a spiritual entity. the soul after death in barzakh, according to the ahadith that we have, is either in azab, tormented, or it's in thawab and bliss, or it is in the state of suspension. And this was one question which came last week about the ayat where some of the people will be raised on the day of Qiyamah, and they will be asked how many days you stayed, and they will say just a day or even less than that. That refers to that third group, where kind of they didn't even know where they are. But the first and the second, who were either under azab or samab, they would know, you know, how long they have been in the barzakh. Now, what happens to this soul after, you know, we'll come to the issue of death and the question and the fashar of qabr, inshallah, next week. But after that process, immediately after death is over, where does the soul go? Based on the ahadith that we have, you know, the soul doesn't exist by itself then. It goes into a body which, using the words from the imams, it is called al-jasadul mithali. It is a non-physical body, similar to the body, not exactly same, but the only example that we can find is the example of the jinn and the malak. And, you know, a similar body is there where the soul goes into it. And that is how the soul lives on into the period of barzakh. Now, there are many, many ahadiths where the imams talk about there's a similar body. Let me give you three examples. One is from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Where somebody, a companion, came to him and he asked him, that Imam, where do the souls of the mu'mineen, what happens to it in barzakh? Because we hear that it is placed into a bird, you know, or a very huge bird. All the souls of the mu'mineen are placed into it, and that flies around the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam says, you know, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a mu'min is more honored than the bird. You know, he doesn't have to put him in the body of the bird. And this is where, walakin fi abdanin, the souls of the mu'mineen are in bodies, ka'abdanihim, similar to their own bodies. Not exactly same, not exactly like it, but something like it. Another expression that we see in the ahadith, again from the sixth imam, where it says, يَنْتَقِلُ رُوحُهُ مِنْ جَسَدِهِ إِلَى مِثْلِهِ جَسَدُهُ فِي السُّورَةِ. After death and after the process of hisab, and, you know, the questioning in the grave, the ruh is transferred إِلَى مِثْلِهِ, something like it. Like a body which looks like his. Because we hear that the mu'mineen will be able to recognize one another in barzakh. So that is why the imams are mentioning that the body in which the soul will go will be like the body, at least in the appearance of their body which they had in the dunya. Another expression that we have, في روزة كهيئة الأجساد في الجنة. They will be in a garden of the bliss in barzakh, كهيئة الأجساد, with a kind of a body like the body that we have in this dunya. So imams have used different wordings in order to explain what is known as jasade mithali. This term has been taken from the hadith of the imams. We'll look at that tonight more. You know, not all, our based on this hadith, you know, many scholars of the present as well as the old days, including people like Sheikh Mufid, they believe in this concept of the mithali body which is used in barzakh. Now, how do we understand that? And that was a difficult part for me. Didn't want to go into the works of Mullah Sadra and Bu Ali Sina and others. That becomes even more complicated and difficult to comprehend. So looking at, you know, different things from Quran and Hadith, I try to, you know, get some of the things from the research of some of the ulama. The closest phenomenon to this concept of mithali body, non-physical body in barzakh is like the state of sleep. Now, what do I mean that? Look at the ayat. It's a very interesting ayat, and I would like you to spend a few moments reading that. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha fayumsiku allati qada 'alayha al-maut wa yursilu al-ukhra ila ajalin musamma. Allah takes the souls at the time of their death. That's easy to understand. Then he says, and those who have not died in their sleep. It means some people die in sleep and some people don't die when they sleep. Allah says those people who have not died in their sleep should know that he holds back the souls on which he has decreed death, while he releases the other till an appointed time. If you really look at this ayat, what we are being told, that when we go to sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yatawaffa al-anfus, takes the soul of the people. Those for whom he has already declared that day or that night is the time of death for them, their soul he holds back, doesn't send it back. But those whose souls he has taken while they were sleeping, but their time of death has not yet come, he releases it. It goes back to the body till an appointed term, till the time that Allah has appointed for their death. It's scary, huh? And we should be afraid, yes. When we sleep, this ayat is saying, the arwah are taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those arwah whose time of death has come, he holds it back. They don't go back. But those arwah whose time has not yet come, Allah releases it. Fayurisilu, he sends the others back to the body, ila ajalim musamma, till an appointed time. Let us look at this ayat. Ayatullah Nasir Makarim Shirazi, and his tafsir Namuna basically comes up with 5 to 7 conclusions from this ayat. And that's very interesting. Number one, he says, this ayat tells us that if Allah is taking the soul when we sleep, it means there is a soul and a body. They're two different entities. Number two, at the time of death, Allah takes the soul, and by taking the soul, he totally ends the connection between the soul and the body. The connection is broken. But at the time of sleeping, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes this soul, but he does not totally disconnect this soul with the body. We actually have 3 situations, and you know, let us look at it one by one. Either there is total connection between the body and the soul. This is when we are alive and awake. The body and the soul is totally connected. partial connection. When we sleep, Allah takes the body, but not in a way that the connection is totally cut. There is still a partial link there in the state of sleep. Then the third situation, where there is no connection between the soul and the body, and that is the death. So the closest thing that we can understand as far as death and barzakh is concerned is the state of sleep. Sleep is a semi-death phenomenon, while death is a total dream phenomenon. Further on, he says, sleep itself is a proof of the soul's independence from the body, especially when we talk about dreams, especially the dreams which come true. How did we know that something happened or something is going to happen? The body was there at home in the bed. You didn't go anywhere. It was your soul which traveled. Your soul traveled at that time, but the time of death had not yet come. It came back. The connection was still there. And sometimes, so it is when we talk about the dream, you know, when we talk about this whole issue of the person who is sleeping, deep sleep. You wake them up all of a sudden. You know, they will say, what happened? If you ask them, who are you, they still know themselves. But the body at that time was not functioning. The senses were all, in a way, relaxed and not working at that time. When a person sleeps, he's sleeping. And this is where we see that, you know, sleeping itself is a proof that the soul of a human being is independent from the body of the human being. When the partial connection in the state of sleep is cut off totally, this is where we say, you know, this fellow went to sleep and never woke up again. And what that means, and this is what we have to learn, the realization that every night we go to sleep, we are at the threshold of death. Allah has taken our soul from the body, but there is still a link there. And if the link is cut, it's death. And if you wake up again, the link is still there. And so, you know, from what I remember looking at one hadith last week, Amir al-Mu'minin used to say, when you go to sleep, be in this state of taharat. Because even if you don't die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, your soul in a way goes in the presence of Allah. And when you go in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to be pure. And so this is one situation where we can probably relate to this concept of the soul living in the alam of barzakh, in the state of barzakh. There's an alim in Iran by the name of Aghha Mohsin Qarati, very well known for his examples. And he explains this phenomenon of this ayat. That where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, I take the souls of the people. And if the time of death has come, I withhold it. But if the time of death has not come, I release it and let it go back to the body. He uses an example which is very interesting. It might help us to understand this phenomenon. That a driver has his own car. You know, he's driving, but then he stops somewhere, leaves his car with the engine still running, and gets into another car, goes for a short ride, comes back, and then goes back to his own car back. This is the state of dream or sleep. You know, when you are sleeping, our soul has still left the engine running. So the soul is the driver and the body is the car. So the engine is still running and the driver goes into another vehicle. And they go to their trip and then come back, goes back into the car, which is the ruh going back into the body. But sometimes, and only once, of course, not sometimes, many times, ki baat nahi hai, the driver stops the car totally, switches off the engine, leaves the car, goes into another car, and that is death. And that other car is the, what we call, jasad-e mithali, the body which is of not a physical material type, and that is the body which is used during the time of barzakh. However, it doesn't mean that our body is the end of the story. You know, the mithali body is the vehicle for the soul in the barzakh only. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring back this body that we have now. And then the soul will go into it. And then we go through this process of, you know, hisab and kitab and judgment and the consequences after that. And so when we talk about this concept, you know, we have to realize that Alam al-Barzakh is basically the world of a spiritual kind. It cannot be comprehended on a physical level. You know, of course, the azab is there, and the sawab is there, and even though it might not be on the body itself, it's just like, you know, when we talk about, you know, the pain that we feel when somebody who is near and dear to us is hurt. It might not be of a physical connection, but the pain and the, the feeling and the ihsas would definitely be there when we talk about the awab or the sawab during the time of barzakh. Let me go back to this ayat again, just to emphasize the point. Is this ayat, you know, making sense now? Allah takes the soul at the time of their death. That's the first sentence. وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا. And the souls that have not died in their sleep. They should know that فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتِ. Those souls Allah, you know, holds back. You know, yumsik from imsak. What do you do early morning in Ramadan? Huh? Is imsak a time? It's not really a time. It's not like dawn or sunrise. Imsak just means hold your hands away from food and drink. Stop yourself from it. فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتِ. The souls whose time of death has come, Allah holds it back. وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى. And the others, Allah releases, lets it go back, إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, until the appointed time. And this is where we realize that, you know, for us, the death itself is a phenomenon very similar to death, the sleeping process. And also, you know, that is the closest that we can come to understand the phenomenon of life in barzakh. Yes, this is an ayat of Quran, of course. Oh, the surah number? I didn't write it here. Oh. Okay, I didn't even bring my notes today. With all this tension, I forgot it on the printer. So I'll give it, inshallah, next week. We'll conclude here if we still have some time, maybe 10 minutes. Questions? The question is when the talqeen is being recited. At that time, is the soul in the actual physical body, or has it already gone into the mithali body? Inshallah, we'll talk about it next week. The issue of death, what happens at that time, the issue of, you know, the questioning in the grave, the coming of the imams, this is all, inshallah, we're going to discuss next week. One more point, I didn't get time to discuss that more in detail. When we talk about this, just as the mithali, this is about the vast majority of the normal people. When we talk about Anbiya and Mursaleen, and especially about Prophet Muhammad, and Ali Muhammad salawatullah alayhi majma'in, people like Sheikh Mufid and Allah Majlis and others, looking at the hadith, basically they believe that in their case, their situation is exception to the rule. And they basically are taken with the body itself. So it's not an issue of their soul separating from the physical body and going into a mithali body. Although they do not deny the possibility of multiple mithali bodies for the imams and some of the prophets. When you hear about, you know, inshallah we'll talk more about it next week, about the prophet or the imam coming to the questioning in the grave, you know, if it happens at multiple places around the world, it is the mithali body which is used in that way. And so according to our prominent ulama, that is one way of understanding that phenomenon, that, you know, the imam could be in one place seen by individuals at the same time in different places. The ayat is Surah 39, ayat 42. Yes. Inshallah, we'll talk about it when we come to the issue of, you know, the whole issue of questioning in the grave, the fishar, the categories of people, some are exempted, some are not. It's going to come. The question is about those who are physically handicapped. Is their situation after death same as normal people? Inshallah, we'll talk about it. Is there a question from the sister's side? No? We still have 5 minutes. Okay. But I would like you to go back to this ayat. Look at it yourself. We might have some questions next week on this ayat. From Surah 42, you said? Sheikh Sa'ad? Surah 39, ayat 42. Okay. Huh? Hamzad and Misali Bodhi, they are different. Hamzad means, it's a term where mostly used for jinn, Hamzad means when you were born, there was a gene born at the same time. And I don't know whether we really have that or not, but it's the term, that's what it means. And one point which comes, since there's no more question, many times this, when people hear about misali body in barzakh, they say, what is the difference between that and tanasukh of arwa, transmigration of the soul? Like they have in Hindus that, you know, when a person dies, his soul goes into another body. Number one, the issue of tanasukh is about this dunya, where the soul goes from the physical body of one person into the body of somebody else. This misali body is not of somebody else in barzakh into which the soul is going. You know, this is unique to that person. You know, it basically, sometimes some of the ulama, the way they have put it, they say, every person is carrying with him the misali body which will be used in barzakh. In a way, I can't say that means literally exactly that, but that is how they have explained it. It's just like there was somebody from the ancestors of Allama Tabatabai who lived in Najaf. Whenever he used to hear about the stories of, you know, the adab in qabr, the punishment of snakes, snake bite and scorpion biting, he used to go to Wadi Salam, especially when the funerals were there, and he would go and look at the graves, and he would see it's clean, there's nothing in there. On a spiritual level, he had reached to a point where he could talk to the grave, and one day he asked, where are the snakes and the scorpions? And the grave responds to him by saying, don't blame us. We don't carry scorpions and snakes. You bring it with yourself in the grave. So it's in a similar way, you know, when we talk about this issue of jasad-e mithali, this is one example. It's not like tanasukh, where the soul is leaving one body and going into the body of somebody else. The last question, yes. Can you repeat that loud? I didn't hear it. If we have the misali body, can we see jinn and angels? Well, we'll be able to see the angels after death, for sure. About jinn, I don't know. Let's look at it. Okay? ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.